You're listening to a Mango Languages podcast.
Hallo, ahoy, and welcome back, language teachers, to Adventures in Language. I'm your guide, Emily. And in this episode, we're talking about something called the fluency illusion. Whether or not you've heard the term, I guarantee you're familiar with the phenomenon. In short, the fluency illusion is an automatic cognitive process by which our minds subconsciously trick us into believing that we know more about the learning material than we actually do. It's a problem for language learners, of course, because it leads students to believe that they can actively produce something in the target language just because they can passively understand it when hearing or reading it. The answer to overcoming this problem lies in active learning strategies. So if that's what you came for, then keep listening. And for those of you who might not know me yet, I'm Emily. I'm a linguist at Mango Languages with my PhD in bilingual language processing. I'm a teacher of English and Spanish, and I have studied 7 languages myself. So all of that to say that the language learning process is very near and dear to my heart, and I'm here to help you help your students get the most out of theirs. Well, sem mais demora, let's get to it. I'll start by walking us through a scene that I'm sure as a language teacher you've seen in many versions over the years. It's exam day. You have a student who came prepared. They studied, and then studied some more. And then what happened? They got to the test and they froze. Everything they thought they knew, gone. Blank page. After they turn in their test, they're at your desk beating themselves up. They tell you they don't know what happened because they really, really did study to prepare. They even show you the pages of class notes and the textbook chapters that they read and reread, and they thought they knew the material. They wonder if it's because they're not smart enough, or maybe they have test anxiety. But it is quite likely that what they're actually dealing with is a case of fluency illusion. Now, some history background on the term fluency illusion. Despite it including the word fluency, this phenomenon is not specific to language learning. Fluency in this context refers to general mastery or proficiency of any learning content or skill. The phenomenon was originally identified by a psychologist in a paper that got very little recognition at the time. This was Gates, 1917, and the term was coined many, many years later within the field of psychology. However, second language acquisition researchers have since taken this general observation about learning and applied it to the language acquisition process. They've done this by developing academic research programs to understand it better, and also by outlining practical teaching methods to combat the fluency illusion. So, what is the fluency illusion? In short, it's our mind's sneaky way of getting us to believe that we know more about the learning material than we actually do. Here's how I like to explain it. If you've ever had the experience of watching, say, a math teacher walk through the steps of solving an equation on the board, and you understand every step and you're feeling really confident, then they hand you a worksheet to try an example on your own and you just stare blankly at it, chances are that's the fluency illusion at play. This, of course, matters for language learning too, because it enables students to overestimate what they think they know leading up to test day, or leading up to real-life conversations with people in the target language. So how can we keep our students from falling prey to this tricky illusion? Well, the answer isn't to tell them to study more. It's actually to study smarter. The key to doing that is to prioritize active as opposed to passive learning opportunities. And we can do this as teachers for them in class, and there are ways for them to do this for themselves outside of class. Other related code words or buzzwords for active learning opportunities include retrieval practice, self-examination, or simply tests. You know who knew this long before anyone else was talking about it? Sir Francis Bacon. You might remember him as one of the guys on your historical figures flashcards. He was that Renaissance philosopher. Well, back in 1620, he reportedly wrote, "If you read a piece of text through 20 times, you will not learn it by heart so easily as if you read it 10 times while attempting to recite it from time to time and consulting the text when your memory fails." This was 1620, and turns out he was pretty close. While the exact proportions are going to depend on a number of factors, current research suggests that for a given study session, students should use passive studying strategies for the first third of that time and active learning strategies for the rest. So how can you do this? Well, here are five ways that you can set your students up for success with opportunities for active learning. Tip number one, sprinkle in at least one immediate recall activity into every lesson. So this can work in many ways, but after covering a new concept, you can tell your students they have 1 minute to write down everything they remember, everything they know. Tip number two, don't underestimate the power of pop quizzes. A day or even a week after covering a concept, start class with a pop quiz about it. Even though pop quizzes have historically been cast as a teacher's way to get their students, it's anything but that. Testing in this form is active studying. It's effective retrieval practice. So simply put, pop quizzes are good pedagogy. And if you don't like the phrase pop quizzes based on this connotational baggage, call them something else. I like to call them tickets in. And I have my students get in the habit of walking into the class, they pick up the little ticket in, and they complete it. Yeah, so make it a routine and consider grading them only for completion, as that will help reduce some of that grade anxiety. Tip number three, do pretests, not study guides, leading up to exams. So rather than creating a study guide for students, go ahead and give them a pretest as a homework assignment. The reason is they'll remember more by trying to answer related questions on their own. That's the active learning part, than by reviewing fully formed grammar points in example sentences that you've curated for them, because that would be passive learning. And pro tip here, you don't need to reinvent the wheel. Just use last year's exam for the pretest assignment. Tip number four, tell your students about the fluency illusion. No need to keep them in the dark. Let them know why you do what you do. And in doing so, you'll be able to equip them with better study strategies outside of class. There are many ways to implement this, and you can find the best activity that works for you. But here's one that I have done in the past that I really like. So you show them some data on the fluency illusion to illustrate how powerful it can be. And if you want a good reference for this, a good research paper for this, I've linked one in the show notes for you. And then after showing them this data, you can have them do a think, pair, share activity to generate a list of study strategies that would be effective and ineffective. So they should come up with things like, don't just read over the textbook, test yourself, or don't just listen to the audio, pause it and predict the answers, or don't just read example sentences, make up your own. Okay, before we get to our last one, if you're new here and you'd like to make sure you're up to date on all our awesome language content, come join the Mango fam by subscribing to the podcast. It seems like such a small thing, I know, but it really does help us build community together and enrich lives with language and culture. So subscribe, like, review. We really appreciate you. All right, onward and upward to number five. Get your students access to Mango. The Mango app has tons of speaking activities that encourage active learning. At the end of the day, you just want to be cautious of language learning apps or tools that rely too heavily on passive learning strategies alone. Multiple choice quizzes and picture matching comprehension checks aren't going to get your students to communicative competence in real life situations. For example, the Mango app intentionally incorporates critical thinking activities, which prompt the learner to produce original sentences in the target language. If you don't already have an institutional license at your school, ask your admin about it and show them why resources like the Mango app are so important for learners. The PDF we linked in the description has lots of information about how second language acquisition research is organically woven all throughout the Mango app. Okay, to recap. So what is the fluency illusion? It's an automatic cognitive process by which our minds subconsciously trick us into believing we know more about the learning material than we actually do. It can lead to language learners believing that they can actively produce something in the target language just because they can passively understand it when they're hearing or reading it. Now, the answer, as we discussed, to overcoming this problem lies in active learning strategies. In this episode, we discussed five ways that you can help your learners implement more active learning. That included using immediate recall activities, pop quizzes, pretests instead of study guides, and telling them about the phenomena of the fluency illusion, which you can do by sharing out this podcast episode with them. And number 5, getting them access to the Mango Languages app. If you have other teaching tips that you use to help your students combat the fluency illusion, we'd love to hear them. Let us know. Now that you've finished the episode, I hope you feel inspired to take these ideas into your classroom. I know I'm excited for you. If you like this episode, please let us know by subscribing to the podcast. As always, if you have a question or an idea for an episode you'd like to hear from us, let us know. We're always listening. Well, language teachers, that's all for this episode of Adventures in Language. Bye, dovidenia, and I look forward to hanging out with you here next time. Bye.